Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Nashville SC records two huge victories, announces its academy, and we look forward to the last match of the season on this episode of Speedway Soccer. Hello, everybody, and welcome into tonight's episode of Speedway Soccer. We are broadcasting on the Beautiful Game Network, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves. We're at our studio in Alley Taps on historic Printer's Alley and coming to you on the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. Got all your local sports podcasts, non-sports podcasts. Check them out, 104.5thezone.com. I'm Davey Shepherd. Tonight I'm here with...
Andy Simmons.
And Jonathan Slate.
And it's just us three tonight, and look, we've... pretty much all good stuff to talk about here, guys. Yeah. Fun night to come in and do it. We always say it's more fun to talk about wins. We got two of them to talk about. Before the break, we're going to talk about the match against Louisville. We'll talk later on about the match against NCFC. But listen, we said it, I think it was kind of midway point in the summer, right? Like early July, that Nashville had all of these opportunities with home matches to kind of come up with big results and start closing the gaps on teams in front of them. And at this point, as of Monday, October 14th, we've closed in on all but one team. So I don't really know what more you could ask for from this squad over the last 2 to 3 months. And it's been pretty remarkable.
I think the encouraging thing as well, too, is that, you know, they haven't looked bad at all picking up these points. It's one thing to maybe get like a 1-0, you know, scrape by or something like that. But they're really just putting in excellent performances week after week after week. And it's just really encouraging because we always talk about in sports how, you know, you want to hit your peak right before you get into the playoffs. And right. I certainly think that this team is primed to – they're hitting their peak right now, and it's the right time as well, too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Nashville's won in a lot of different ways. Kind of coming down the stretch, we saw, you know, we're going to talk about the NCFC game where, you know, we kept everybody shut out. And then I think most importantly, we saw in the Louisville game, this team dug in – and got a result at the end. Mm-hmm. And I think a result like that against, say, at that time, a Louisville team that was unbeaten in 10 matches tells us a lot about, you know, this team is going to fight till the very end. And they have the ability to get results when they have to get them. Because I think we talked about a lot of different instances, and a lot of it could be, you know, more coincidental or anecdotal, of like, you know, this team had a chance to go to the top of the East. We, you know, didn't take that chance. We did see it against Loudoun, but I think, you know, seeing them do that and being able to dig out, that is huge.
So let's start with Louisville. It was a 2-1 victory. Nashville goes up very, very early via Taylor Washington with his first goal of the season.
Mm-hmm. Reality should have been Daniel Rios on that goal as well, too, kind of a whiff. But Taylor Washington just lofted it right over the keeper as well, too. So
yeah, nice finish for Taylor. Good guy. Good to see him get on the score sheet. One of those guys that's been working really hard, and we're kind of going to touch on it here in a little bit, but those players, I asked Gary about it Friday in training before the NCFC game. Guys who are just coming into the form at the right time. Justin Davis jumps to mind.
He's been fantastic.
He's just been immense over the last few weeks. And Taylor falls into that category as well. He's saving his best for last. And it's a guy who wasn't necessarily first choice at all points in the season, but right now he is. And, you know, it's awesome to see. It's just you want to see guys take advantage of the chances they're given. And him and Justin Davis are two that are definitely doing that. So Taylor gets on the score sheet. Luke Spencer equalizes in the 79th minute. And at that point, you know, it was pretty deflating. They had really turned the field that half of the game. And, you know, I think there's a lot of criticism after, which may be fair or unfair, I don't know, about parking the bus or whatever. At the end of the day, Louisville's just a very, very seasoned side who is also used to playing its best soccer at this point in the season. But the stats finished at 67% possession for Louisville. I don't know that we've been outpossessed to that extent in any game this season. Ben would know that off the top.
Not to that extent. I mean, there's a lot of games we're ceding a little bit of possession, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's, mm-hmm. you know, 53-48, those kinds of things. But I think, you know, to Dave, you pointed out that some people were a little more, you know, critical of, like, parking the bus. But in that game, I mean, I don't want to talk a ton about referees, but I feel like the last two games we're going to talk about referees.
Yeah.
I think there was 8 yellow cards handed out in that game. Yep. And they were just, there was no consistency, and it was all over the place. And I think the consideration, like, I think I even turned and said to both of you guys when we saw it was Jones and Bourgeois coming on, like, oh, these are the exact subs that I would make at this point.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, the ref is all over the place. Like, let's just lock it down and get out of there. But I also want to touch on how great of a game Rapapa Mensah had in the game. Like, he didn't score, but he was just constantly beating players. Constantly, like, that speed and physicality that he has. He's able to beat a man off the ball. He put in the ball for that wasn't technically the assist on the first goal, but he beat a man, put that ball in, and just through the past two games, and really in the last part of the season, has really started to get, like, better as the season goes on.
You already touched on it, that he's found his home on the right wing, so I think that, you know, Gary's recognized that, you know, it's not necessary for him to be the out-and-out lone striker up there. He just does better when he's going at the defense on that right side, playing low balls across the field, just creating chances like that. And so I think that we'll see more of that as the as we roll into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you guys touched on it. I think Rapapa was absolutely huge. Just kind of back to the Gary thing for a second. To me, if he doesn't make those subs that he made at that point in the game, there's people criticizing, calling him naive later for, like, putting in attacking players, right? So, look, at the end of the day, when teams win,
can't make everyone happy.
When teams win, the players did everything right, and when teams lose, the coaches did everything wrong. That's the way it goes, and so...
Well, he already, Slip already touched this on this as well, too. Gary definitely recognized that the ref was just all over the place calling it, so he wanted to have a 1-0 victory and just get out of there as fast as possible, so... I can't fault him for that. And you know what? I think we all
did almost backfire.
Same.
There's no way around that, right? They ended up getting the goal. And if it wasn't for, which we haven't even got to it yet, just an unbelievable header by Ockford.
Might have been the best goal I've seen live in quite some time, honestly.
Great ball in from Lasso. Mm-hmm. He owned that. He wanted to take it. He said it was going to be his. And service unbelievable. And I mean, Ockford just right position, right angle. Right power.
It was
keeper
one
never stood a chance.
I mean, it was one of those ones, like, as soon as he hit it.
Yeah. You knew, right.
Yeah, you knew it was.
Yeah, our angle was really, really great to watch that one. And, look, it was a fun game to be at. And, I mean, I know the crowds have not been huge at First Tennessee Park this year, but they have been treated to some unbelievable finishes in that building this year. And the team's played well there down the stretch. And, look, I mean, we talked about it with specific players. The team seems to be doing what it takes, getting results they need, and I mean, at that point, we were looking at those last three matches saying, okay, look, we've got one against Louisville, one against NCFC, and one against Atlanta United too, and it seemed like the Louisville result was probably going to be the hardest of the three.
Sure.
And to get those 3 points right off the bat was
massive.
Just immense for that team. To roll in and say, hey, of the nine, we've already guaranteed ourselves three. You put yourself in a really, really good position.
Does wonders for their confidence moving forward.
So, look, that was kind of, you know, the story of that night.
And then also, I mean, Pickens, that save right at the end that he was able
to get
down there and make that save to preserve the 3 points. Just want to give a shout-out to myself and Davey. For our predictions, I predicted a last-minute winner.
I think it's as close as either of us have been all season. Anyone's been all season. So.
Davey also said that Pickens would put in a save of the week candidate. So
did he get that? Did he win save of the week?
Well, it won't come out till because
it's midweek. Right. Midweek,
but,
yeah.
So just wanted to
shout
that
out. Shout out everybody else's faces. Yeah. Good call. So, yeah, look, it was just a huge result at that point to move forward into the NCFC match with that kind of, you know, gravitas coming from that game. Mm-hmm. I think really, really important. We're going to touch on NCFC here in just a little bit. For now, let's kind of transition to an announcement that the club made today. It's one that, you know, fans, I think, have kind of been clamoring for. You've seen it posted about a bunch. When are we going to hear about it? When are we going to hear about it? Today was the day. Nashville SC announced that Jamie Smith will be the director of the academy. They kind of laid out some very in-specific ways that it's going to get started. That being said, it's the U-12 team, so team kids born in 2008, will start their first match in the Generation Adidas Cup in November, Thanksgiving weekend. So that's kind of just the opening broad strokes of it. Ultimately, for me, the brass tacks of it is this, is... they're going to be playing in state-of-the-art facilities. Mm-hmm. They're going to be playing at a place where kids from out of state will want to come and live and learn and work. And maybe work's the wrong word to use there. I don't know. But work, you know what I mean. Right, yes.
Yeah.
I do not speak for the club. So, yeah. Anyways, leave that alone. But to come get better at their trade. And it seems to be a well-thought-out plan. It seems to be a guy who kind of has that experience growing up in a big European environment, mm-hmm. going from the academy to the first team, and then making that transition to America. So we were lucky enough to sit down with Jamie Smith, who is the first-ever director of the Nashville SC Academy. We interviewed him and talked to him about his experience, what he expects for the club, and we're going to be right back with that interview after the break. And then following the break, we'll come back, talk NCFC and what we've got on tap for the rest of the season. Stay tuned. This is Speedway Soccer.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Taylor Street Coffee and Tea. Taylor Street Coffee and Tea is a new family-owned coffee shop tucked away in Germantown, serving coffee from Crema Coffee Roasters and tea from Firepot Nomadic Teas. Check them out at 100 Taylor Street, Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. They're located inside an art collective building, so check out their Instagram page to find them, at Taylor Street Coffee. Drop by, drink up.
Hey everybody, Davey Shepherd with Speedway Soccer, and I am lucky enough to be joined on the phone by Jamie Smith, who was just announced today as the first director, new director of Nashville SC Academy. Jamie, thanks so much for taking the time to come on with us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we're glad to do it. And hey, listen, this is an exciting piece of news that a lot of Nashville SC fans have been chomping at the bit to hear. So we're grateful to sit down with you. And it's something that I know fans are interested to learn more about. Why don't you just tell us a little bit, Jamie, about yourself, maybe some of your background, how you got involved, not just with Nashville SC, but with soccer as a whole.
Yeah. First of all, I'm not good talking about myself. I played soccer since I was a kid. I grew up in Glasgow, Scotland. Played since I was a kid. Was fortunate enough to have a career as a professional. It was natural for me to move on to the coaching side of the game when I retired from playing, when my knee gave out. The past several years, I've been on the coaching pathway, and it's been amazing. I've loved it. It's been a massive learning curve for me. That's a very brief kind of history of my kind of soccer experience.
So with Nashville SC in particular, obviously there's the Gary Smith tie-in, but you know, I'm sure part of it is just attractive to be the guy who gets to start this thing. But maybe just give us the big picture on what attracted you to Nashville and to Nashville SC as a whole.
Yeah, I've got a good relationship with Gary. He's the guy that essentially brought me out to the United States back in 2009. Played for him in Colorado. really the you know the opportunity to come down to a fantastic part of the country and essentially build something that's not been done in this state before, build an academy program from the foundations up. The support that leadership have shown me so far has just been, it's been fantastic. And that was really what was so exciting about this. It was something new. It was something different. It was a huge challenge. But to see the motivation and where the club want to go as a whole, and the academy being a big part of that, it was something that just, it was an opportunity that I couldn't turn down.
So maybe starting to get into a bit of the specifics, Jamie, what is your long-term vision for the academy and its relation to the first team in Nashville?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to come through an academy program when I was a kid at Celtic Football Club in Scotland, and they've got a great tradition, great history. And my whole time there was always as a youth player and then as a first team player at Celtic, there was always this direct connection between, almost like a seamless connection between their academy and the first team. And long term, the idea, the goal that we've got is that we can create an environment that's unmatched, unparalleled in the country. In that environment, within that environment, we are getting talented young kids onto the pathway that can potentially provide them opportunities to play for the pro team. That's really what the end goal is.
When you say that, and the link between the first team and trying to just ensure as many kids as possible that come through the academy have that opportunity to play for the first team, will your style of play as you kind of develop the academy, and we know you'll be starting with the U12 team, we'll get to that in a minute, but as you build out the different years in the academy, will your style of play tend to match the first team?
That's a really good question. It's a question that there's been a lot of debate over. Does the first team dictate the style of play or the philosophies of the academy, or is it vice versa? And there's different clubs that do it in different ways. I think what's unique about being here is that we can get to create our own environment. Listen, it would be in a utopian kind of world. That's, you know, like you've got this seamless philosophy and style of play and the way things are done, but the reality is that the expectations and the goals and the standards for the first team are and kind of should be slightly different from what they are at the academy. We're in the process of developing the players. The first team guys are looking to win games, right? They're looking to be successful in results is the way that they measure the way they measure that. With the academy, the approach is a little bit different. But for style of play, we want to create an environment and implement a philosophy and a style that provides kids with an all-round understanding of the game, so that no matter what team they move on and play for, whether it's at collegiate level or hopefully, you know, professional level, that they've got the ability to adapt to different coaches and different styles and different ways of playing. That's what our goal is through our curriculum, through our philosophies, is by helping kids understand how to adapt to different ways of playing soccer.
As you start to build it out, is there any goals, Jamie, to have like a residency program where maybe kids from out of state or other regions are going to come in and relocate to Nashville for that chance to develop with the academy?
Yeah, those plans that we've got down the road a little bit. For now, obviously, we're focusing on just launching the academy, starting to build those foundations, like I mentioned, but for sure down the road, we want to have the ability to bring kids in, talented kids in from all across the country, really, and bring them into our environment.
As you start to build it out, you know, Nashville maybe isn't described as like a hotbed of soccer activity, but there are well-established youth programs that have been here for a while. Will the academy work with any of those programs to filter kids into what is hopefully a true pipeline to professional soccer?
Yeah, we want to work with every club that wants to work with us and providing kids opportunities that they otherwise haven't had before. Like I said, we're going to provide a platform and an environment that's never been seen here in Tennessee before, and that we've got a professional MLS academy with a professional MLS team above us, and to be able to work with the clubs, all for giving, you know, all with the goal of giving the kids that are at the level the opportunity to come out of the pathway, and again potentially have those opportunities at the professional level. That's what we're trying to do.
Jamie, why don't you tell us just a little bit about how everything is going to get started? We know that we'll be starting with a boys U12 team that will start here in just a little bit over a month at the Generation Adidas Cup. But what are the plans, not just for that team specifically, but kind of rolling out the next few generations of players as well?
Yeah, we've got the Generation Adidas Cup, which is Thanksgiving weekend. We've got our Open ID clinic on October 25th It's an open ID clinic for any kids at the 2008 age group to attend and participate in. And we're excited about the Generation Adidas Cup and Thanksgiving weekend. It's going to be a challenge because it's all the MLS academies that will be participating, or most of them. It will be a great experience for our kids. And as we move forward, and we look a little bit towards 2020-21 season, where we're going to start in the spring, we start preparing for having U15, U14, U13 age groups along with the U12. And the idea is to take the younger age groups and just grow organically from there.
Jamie, maybe kind of just to sum it up, you know, you've obviously had a very varied career, you know, from being at huge clubs and being in Europe to coming in America, winning championships here. What most excites you about this project, and kind of what is your spark in leading into what we all hope is just a very, very successful endeavor?
I think in going through the process of coming down here initially and speaking to the leadership and looking at, you know, listening to what the plans were, I think it's what excites me the most is, you know, the leadership made it clear to me that we're building something that's by Nashville, it's for Nashville, and it's with Nashville. And for me, to contribute to that in some ways, and basically in several years from now, to be able to sit in the first team stadium and watch some of our kids that we've seen from the younger age groups play in the first team and contribute to the first team, I think that's what the most exciting part of it all is. We as youth coaches, we get the opportunity to positively affect the lives of kids, and soccer is just the vehicle we get to do that with. For us here in Nashville, to take some young kids from within the state of Tennessee, and again in several years watch them run on the field for the first team, I think that's what really it comes down to.
Jamie, thanks again for your time today. Everybody back home listening, stay tuned. We will be right back after the break to look forward to the upcoming match against Atlanta United. This is Speedway Soccer.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your team or group at roughneckscarves.com.
Welcome back into Speedway Soccer. Huge shout out again to Jamie Smith for sitting down with us on today, the first day they've announced the academy. We are excited for that. We will be back with Jamie after their first couple of matches in that Generation Adidas Cup Thanksgiving weekend. Just talk to him and kind of get his original thoughts on how everything starts. But that being said, we're going to put a pin in that conversation because there just isn't a ton of content there yet. And look at the last match that we had against NCFC, which was at Nissan Stadium this Saturday. And guys, again, just another absolutely massive result. So we got first 3 out of 3 to go 6-for-6 in those last 3 matches. It was really what we had to do to stay in contention. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to talk details. But we come out of that match with the other results that happened, knowing that we're assured one of the first 2 playoff positions. and still with the potential via a very, very last-minute winner for Pittsburgh. We still have the potential for the first seed in the East going into the last week of the season.
Yeah, once Nashville picked up the 3 points against North Carolina, I think you said it was guaranteed that they were going to have a top three spot no matter what. But it's just one of those things that I'm pretty encouraged that Nashville plays so well at Nissan Stadium, considering it's going to be their home for the next couple of years.
Yeah, still yet to concede a goal there.
Correct. And like the last two times they played in Nissan Stadium, you can argue that it's been their two best performances of the season so far. I mean, would you possibly
agree? Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think Nashville was helped out a little bit by the fact that NCSC did have a couple players, especially like Andrew Fortune and Nasmi Al-Badawi, that were both out on international duty. So, I mean, that's something that Nashville is going to have to cope with next year. Mm-hmm. But it was another instance of that being in our favor. But Nashville came out of the gate like a little sluggish, probably like in the first 5-10 minutes, which I know that Gary kind of touched on a little bit in his brief post-match press conference that Ben was at. But then Nashville, I mean, really from about minutes like 20 to like minute like 32 when they finally scored, they just peppered the goal with shots. Yeah. I mean, we had 12 shots. I mean, only four of them were on target, but just I mean, we saw Rios attempt that bicycle kick.
Bolu had a shot from really far out as well.
We saw a lot of instances where Nashville was looking to create. We saw some really good corners from both, you know, Maloto and Davis at different points during the game, but then, you know, we finally Lebo put in just a fantastic ball to Mensah, and I think that may have been like the easiest header he's ever had to finish. Like, he was not marked whatsoever.
Yeah,
the keeper was not there. I mean, he just placed it perfectly. Like, yeah. And then Nashville could really just pretty much held on for the majority of the game. And this is another instance we kind of touched on with the Louisville game where, yes, we had 49% possession to their 51, but at no points did it really feel like they were really pressing. Maybe a little bit more in the second half they did outpossess us by 60-40, but
I'd be curious to actually look back and see how many games Nashville gets outpossessed in the second half. Because I feel like it's almost every game, but at that point, though, it's one of those things where Gary's maybe established the lead, and then he's like, you guys can sit back and absorb pressure a little bit. So I'd be curious. Maybe Ben knows it, but I'd be interested to see, you know, what number of games it is that Nashville kind of loses possession, but still, like, doesn't necessarily lose the game in that instance.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's definitely been a trend throughout the season. Being able to concede a little bit of that.
But that doesn't take away, I think, that's
what made the Louisville match stand out. Yeah. Sure. That it felt noticeably different in that match.
But not in this match, though, because I felt like they were just in control, like you said, from the 20-minute mark, and it just seemed like they weren't going to lose control of it at all.
When we did see in the first half, Alan Wynn back on the starting lineup, so a little bit of a different lineup from what we saw against Louisville. And like as we saw when we played Indy earlier this year at Nissan, like having that bigger, wider field allows you to get a bit more width, and so that's why we saw Wynn out there. Mm-hmm. But then we go into the second half, and it's kind of another slow start, and then Gary got sent off.
Yeah. Do we know more detail about that? What happened? What transpired?
I know he was trying to contest some kind of call that the referee was making.
It seemed like it was the one against Rapapa.
So it was like the 50th minute. Mensah goes up to win a header, and the NCFC player didn't make any attempt to actually play the ball. He just jumped up and he called the foul on Mensah, and like Gary immediately said something, and then it was just like immediately like he was out. So like when like we didn't get any other like clarification as to what that was.
Currently, it's our understanding that there is not an automatic touchline ban that comes along with the coach being sent off.
But there
is the possibility that the league could do it. And so we reached out to the club awaiting comment, and they said they would notify us when they hear anything. I don't know if they're expecting to hear anything, but that's where it stands as of now. So unfortunate, but again, team carries on, gets the result, 2-0 victory. And look, it's another one, like we said it earlier. At the end of the day, you just had three matches. and you knew you had to get as many points as possible. We go into the last match of the season with 6 out of 9.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then I want to give special, like we touched on Taylor earlier in the game, yeah, for the Louisville game, you know, scoring that goal. But he comes on in the 73rd minute and provides that kind of change of pace, those, you know, some tired legs for him to run out. And yes, Lebo scored the goal. But Taylor,
it was a great cross,
but
though.
But not only that, Taylor's the one that wins. He wins the ball.
Yeah.
Makes the run, and then plays that pass. Mm-hmm. Like that was a goal that he created from start to finish. Lebo was just in a great position for him to play that header.
Yeah, but obviously, credit to Lebo for finishing it. But agreed. I mean, Taylor is just in an incredible run of form. We're gonna say that, which I'm glad you brought that up, because we talked about Davis. We talked about him last match. I think we just got to acknowledge that Daniel Rios is not in a great run of form.
I don't think there's any secret about that. And hasn't scored since August 17th.
And there was the Pittsburgh match where the sitter was the difference in the points, right?
Sure. We didn't even touch on the Louisville game,
right?
The one that he missed.
And it was inside of the penalty spot. It was basically a sitter, in my opinion.
We had gone down to the supporter section at halftime. It was right at the start of the second half. And, front row seat to seeing that.
And then, the first goal was a ball ran right across it.
Yep.
So, look, I'm not super worried about that. And if there's one guy who you're saying, hey, he's going to figure it out on this team, it's Daniel Rios. Yeah.
Then he had that breakaway in the second half as well. That was, just was not great. But yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, he'll sort it out,
right? Yeah. But just based on the evidence the last few weeks, he is not in the shape he's been all season. I don't mean that physically. He's not in the form that he's been all season.
The goals aren't falling for him. And you know, better days are ahead for him, because it could be one of those games where he just bags a hat trick in the Atlanta game.
Exactly.
So, and off will be forgiven.
Yeah, he's he's a guy who has the level of talent to pull himself out.
And you know
what?
It's okay, because Nashville's winning right now as well.
Yes. Exactly. He scored in the Loudoun game on September 28th. So it wasn't August. So,
it matters less when your team is getting the results, and we've been getting the results. Mm-hmm. So, I think, again, credit to Gary putting out a competitive lineup, keeping the team's attention in between the two sets of games. NCFC, it's, I think, important to say, is not resting on their laurels either. They're fighting for positioning piece by piece, just like we are. We went out and got that result over them. Same thing goes for NCFC. The truth is, the only team in these last three who isn't fighting for a playoff spot is Atlanta United, but we did the math earlier. I think they're unbeaten in 7 since their loss to Birmingham back in early September. And they come in as good as form as anybody in the East. So,
yeah, I think when we were sitting down, we were looking at, a couple weeks ago, we're looking at their run-in, we're looking at all of these home games we have, and we were looking at the last three and saying, Louisville will be tough, NCFC will be tough, but, we have to end the game on a high note with this Atlanta team, and then now we've come to it. They've done us a lot of favors, with teams that they've knocked off and taken points off of.
Yeah, so since they lost on September 4th to Birmingham, they beat Ottawa, a playoff team, drew Tampa, a playoff team, beat Charleston, a team who is fighting for the last playoff position, beat Atlanta, a playoff team.
We beat Indy.
Beat Indy, a playoff team, drew St. Louis, a playoff team, drew Pittsburgh, number one seed in the East, and then they beat Bethlehem, who is not a playoff team. So, I don't think there's any exaggeration at all to say they are in the best form, at least when you look at, maybe someone's leveled on them on points. I don't think that's true over those last few games. But when you look at quality of opposition played and points garnered from them, they're playing as good as anybody is right now.
And it's a shame, too, because they don't really have a shot at a playoff spot, but they're just looking to play spoiler at this point for us.
Guys trying to prove themselves for next year for the big club or whatever that thing might be, so they're still fighting for it. And so, in my opinion, that's the last team in the world you want to see coming to First Tennessee Park Saturday night.
Yeah.
With absolutely nothing to lose, they're going to come out, and they know, hey, if we come out, and likely the truth is, if they come out and they take points off of us, we're going to end up with no chance of having that one seed overall. So we really want to make sure that we go out and kind of establish that result. And as we were kind of touching on before, you don't want to go into the playoffs after such a good run of form, dropping points against a team who's not going to end up in the playoffs. That being said, there's one other huge result that we kind of need to focus on before we end the show, and that is Pittsburgh Riverhounds at Birmingham Legion Sunday night. So kind of to set the stage, Charleston and Birmingham both have a midweek game. They've played one game less than everybody else. They are fighting for the last two playoff slots in the East. You've got St. Louis on 42 points. Birmingham currently in the 10th seed with 40 points. And they have the tiebreaker over Charleston with a win. And Charleston sitting on 40 points in 11th as well. So, all of that being said, it's very, very likely that we go into the last match of the season, Sunday night, 4:30, with Pittsburgh needing to win to get a one seed overall in the East, and with Birmingham needing to win to get into the playoffs. So everything is going to be on the line that night. And look, Birmingham is a team who, they haven't been in a run of form like Atlanta United has been, but they've still played really, really well against good teams. They did beat Indianapolis. They lost to us 1-0 near the very end of the match.
Yeah, it was a 93rd minute home goal. I mean, they're coming in. They did struggle early. I think kind of the story with both Atlanta and them was they struggled early. They didn't score their first goal, I think, until like a month and a half. And that first goal was also their first point. I think it was a win at home. But, I mean, they will have the advantage of the fact that, you know, we'll see what results happen on Wednesday. But, you know, Charleston plays before them. So they may know that they just need a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all that being said, just because we get a win Saturday night doesn't mean our kind of rooting is over as supporters of NSC. There's a huge match coming up on Sunday night as well. There has been rumblings of people making a trip down to see Birmingham play. It's a quick trip. I think it's a great idea, and it's going to be a good soccer game. So
it's a 4:30 game.
Yeah,
you go down 2 hours. Like it's 2 hours there, 2 hours
back.
Make it back by 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you're ready to go.
Yep.
Look, all of that being said, all exciting things on all fronts for NSC. You've got the MLS level stuff happening. Jersey sponsor announced a few weeks ago. Academy announced. On the USL side, we're getting result after result. Chance of getting the home playoffs locked in this weekend. As a fan, as someone who covers the team, whatever, there's nothing more you can ask for.
Yeah, we are now at the point where we are guaranteed. As long as we win our first playoff game, we're guaranteed another playoff game. They did announce that if you're a season ticket holder, that first round, that is already included. You already paid for those. They'll have some more information coming out as well. But then they'll work out for the next round as well, should Nashville advance, and hopefully if Nashville does advance.
It's in a good position to be in for the club, good position to be in as fans, so we're excited for it. Hey, as always, thanks for listening to this episode of Speedway Soccer, brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network and Roughneck Scarves. Huge shout out to Alley Taps for hosting us, and as always, to the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network for distributing us. Check them out when you get a chance. Really, really good shows covering a whole gamut of topics, sports and non-sports related. But most of all, thanks to you guys for listening. You're why we do the show. We love doing it. Big week for NSC. We look forward to seeing you there Saturday night at First Tennessee Park. Until then, take care. This is Speedway Soccer.
Never go full Shepherd.
Nope.